Okay, I thought that picture was a good start to the sermon. That was in Kenya when me and Reino went there in July. And the person on the left hand side is actually a pastor from Kenya, and we decided we're gonna run up a bit of Mount Kenya the one day. And that pastor hasn't had a pair of running shoes for 15 years or 20 years. When you become a pastor in Kenya, it works like this. You have a profession, and that's all you do. When you become a pastor or you become a bricklayer or something, that's all you do. You don't get into other stuff. You don't get into entertainment and into running and stuff like that. So he gave his shoes away. But then when we came, we challenged him to come run with us. So we ran up the mountain. And as you can see there, he had his church suit on. He had his church shoes on as well. We ran 16Ks that day. And he ran up that muddy path with his church shoes. And he wasn't slow. The Kenyans really have talent. So he ran all the way up there. You can see his jacket hanging around his waist. So what I'm speaking about today is about finishing strong. As I prayed, we've been granted entry into this race. And it's God's heart for us to finish this race strong. So I just want to share thoughts on my own life. And I'm going to use a lot of analogy from sport. Eric will like that. You know, sports people around us will like that. I just want to share analogies from what I've done in sport and what God has taught me just through sport as well. And how the Christian walk is also a walk of faith. So I'm going to start with Luke 14, verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he may have enough to finish it? Yeah, so God is saying to us that when we start a race, when we start this life, when we enter into this race, there's a place where we actually need to calculate the cost. And a lot of times as Christians, when we come into the kingdom, nobody tells us the cost. Nobody tells us what it's going to take. Nobody tells us that it's not just once-off occasion. It's a process of sanctification. Colossians 1 verse 12 to 14 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in life. So for us to start this race, we first need to be qualified to even enter this race. A lot of times, we think the qualification is the whole race. Just coming to Christ, that's the race. It's like an insurance policy. It's what we receive. It's salvation, and that's it. That's the end of it. And we just wait out till God comes and gets us. It's like insurance policy, but God says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 2, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. So there's a responsibility upon us to hold fast onto that word that God preached initially to us. The scripture also says some of us have actually forsaken that word, and we've actually walked away from it. And as if Christ would die for us a second time. So we don't want God to die for us a second time. We want to hold on to the salvation. We want to know what it means for us to be saved and to walk in that salvation. Mark 4 verse 5 speaks about the seed that was thrown on stony ground. And then when the cares and the riches and the distractions of this world came, that seed didn't bear any fruit. And that also speaks of sometimes as Christians, we come, we receive salvation, we receive the grace God has given us. But then after a while, when things get tough, things get hard, we give up on that salvation. So what God wants us to do is He wants us to persevere. He wants us to push through till the end. And for me, as somebody like that sport, it's important for me to know what I enter myself into. If I do a race, it's important for me to know what's the goal of the race and what is the end goal of the race. Where do I want to end up when I finish the race? So the first key for us now, once we've been qualified to this race, is we need to choose to participate in this race. 2 Peter 1 verse 5 to 7 says, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue of knowledge, and knowledge of self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection of love. And what for me the key is there is make every effort. It speaks of being industrious about our salvation. It's about adding to our faith. And it speaks about participation. It speaks about yielding to learning and One thing it doesn't speak of is spectating. And I see sometimes for us as Christians, it's a lot of times we like to sit on the sideline. Sometimes we like to just see how other people do it. But God says for us to grow into this race, to finish it strong, we must make every effort to participate in that. And for me, it really comes down to the basics. What do I choose to do on a daily basis with my life? What are the events I go to? What are the places I yield myself to? Let me just say as well that sometimes we come to the kingdom and we come from a broken place. We come from a place where we need healing. And there's a place for that as well. But there's also a place where we actually come to receive healing. So we come to be equipped to be whole and then operate from that place of wholeness. So we never come to just sit. We cannot just come and spectate for years. We come actually and say, God, you are the healer. Your word says you are the healer. So you will heal us. And we will get to a place where we can participate. So we come to be equipped. We come to worship God, even to our church services. And we come to reproduce. God has called us to reproduce that which He put inside of us. So even from the first day, even if we receive salvation, we can already give that away. Because you're already one step ahead of somebody that hasn't received salvation. So there's always for us something to give. Always something that we can impart. Always something we can tell somebody else. For me, as I said, practically, I would say a lot of times when somebody speaks about missions, we think about a big cost. Like in our church, we do a lot of missions going on a yearly basis, going to different places. And I find it's kind of a hard thing to ask people to go on missions. But then if you ask people to go with them to a sports event or to go to them to spectate something, I find there's much less resistance to do that. Go to the movies. Come to the movies with me. I find there's much less resistance to that. But the reality is when I go to a sport event, I just spectate. And if that sports team won, the reality is if I was spectating or not, the team would have still won or lost. I don't make any difference. The only difference I will make is if I actually participate in some way or another. It doesn't mean I'm on the field, but it means you can be the sponsor. It means you can be the coach. You can be all kinds of things to participate. But if you're a spectator, you don't make a difference. Okay, start with purpose. Acts 11 verse 23 says, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. And as that first scripture I said, count the cost. We must make our mind up that we're going to finish this race. We must make our mind up that I've enrolled into this race. And no matter what the cost is, no matter the mountains in the way, the valleys, the streams, whatever I need to cross, my main aim is the end goal. It's that I'm going to go to the end. So I set my heart on the end. Because the reality is, in the race of life, things are going to happen. Situations are going to happen. Circumstances are going to happen. Things are going to get tough. There are going to be distractions. There's going to be temptations. For me, I'm setting my heart on the fact that I'm going to do this race to the end. And for me, for an endurance event, that's one of my cues. Before I even start this race, when I do a long distance race, I said in my heart, I'm going to finish this race. That's the main thing that carries me through. That I decide I'm going to finish this race. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter what obstacle comes along the way. And that's for us as Christians the same way. If I don't make up my mind to make it to the end, no matter what the cost is, the chances are very good that along the way something is going to hamper me. Some stumbling block is going to get me out of the way. And I'm just thinking of something that God just drops in my spirit now, about offense. A lot of times what gets people is offense. Somebody does something to them in church or in a walk of life. Something happens to you that was wrong. It was really somebody that came along and really did something. It's not always wrongfully that we take offense. Sometimes there's a good reason for us to take offense. But for me, one of the reasons why I let go of offense is because I want to run this race to the end. Because offense is only going to hurt me. It's not going to hurt the other person. It's not going to help me to get out of this race, because then I'm actually disqualified for the whole race. So that's just one reason where we can deal with offense. Fred uses a good analogy. He says, mothers don't get offended with their children. Teenagers get offended with their parents. But mothers and fathers don't get offended with their children, because they've made up their mind that this is my child. I'm going to get this child to the end. And so our salvation must also be for us like raising children. It doesn't matter how they offend us. We choose to be mature. It's a choice. We choose to be mature and grow through this. Luke 14, verse 27 says, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. And that speaks of dying, really. And it doesn't just speak initially. We say we must lose our life to find it. But what I find is God is, along the way, along this race, He comes to us and He asks us to lay our line down occasionally again. He comes with us with new challenges. He comes to ask you something where you need to change your life. He might ask you to change your career. He might ask you to go on a mission. He might ask you to do hard things. And a lot of times, it's areas where you really have to trust God. So that's part of our sanctification, working out our salvation, is being willing to lay down our life again along the way, picking up our cross on a daily basis. So a simple question to ask for me is, if God tells me today to quit my career, to go to another country, etc., what will I say? You can test yourself in that. But as God tells you, if you want to do something and God says to you, no, I don't want you. I don't want you to have that thing. I don't want you to marry this person, etc. What will you say? Are you running for Him? Or are you running for yourself? Because we can come to God only for the benefits. We can only come to God for the prosperity that the prosperity gospel preaches. But our true prosperity is being obedient. Okay. And this next topic I'm going to speak about is lighten the load. And for any sportsman, it's quite important for us to do sport. We want to get the best equipment. We want to have the best shoes, the best bicycle. We want to be dressed lightly. We want to make sure our body even. Good cyclist, make sure he's lean and he can go up the hills fast. So you get the very best stuff. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And we, a lot of times we focus on the sin. We all know that sin keeps us back from God's best. But sometimes there's things that are just weighing us down. They're not necessarily defined as bad sins, but they're really things that hamper us from being effective in this race, from being effective with God. So sometimes it could just be things you own, things that hold you from doing the best for God. And it will be different for each one of us. Some people are called to be business people. They are called to own a lot of things because that's actually part of their calling. So it's not a straightforward thing of one person does a thing a certain way and another person. It's about obedience. If I'm called to go be a missionary in India, then God could tell me to sell everything I have, because then those things can actually become weights. They can actually keep me back. And it's also about, for me, where it becomes real is, as you run this race, God reveals to you. When you come to me, you come as you are, but as I said, you change. God reveals to you in which direction He wants to take you, as you walk in godly counsel, as you spend time with God. So then He will start telling you what is important. What are the things that He wants you to accomplish for His kingdom? What is your calling? And then you need to start to change your life, to fit alongside that. You make your life mold around the fact that you need to do that. A good example I would use is when I was still single, God said to me, my wife might be somebody who would like to dance. And I really didn't, it was really out of my comfort zone to even think of dancing. But then I just allowed some girls to teach me how to dance. And I'm still not the best dancer, but I can dance a bit. And that's just because I wanted to prepare for marriage. And a lot of this laying aside the weight, it's not things that happen when you get there. It's things that happen before you get there. It's a preparation. If you want to be a good husband one day, then you learn how to cook. You learn to iron your clothes. And it's the same with God. If you want to become an evangelist, you need to start reading the Word, and you need to know the Word. Search with obedience. Yeah, it's all about obedience. It's really to change your life, mold your life, because He's the King in your life. Songs of Solomon catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. And that's a place where we actually come alongside other people to make their races easier as well. So sometimes we're not running the races on our own, we're running the race as a team. And as a church here, as Shofar Ronnebosch, we together, we're running this race for the salvation of Ronnebosch and the southern suburbs. So there's a place where God has given us vineyards to protect, and where we can actually be hindrances in that vineyard. There's a place where we can actually cause obstacles, we can cause problems. That's not necessarily good for what God is doing. So that's also making us lean for God's purposes in this time. And this Song of Solomon speaks about husband and wife, where we actually catch the little foxes in our lives. So if there's something that comes up a lot of times, then something that hinders us, something that actually causes frustration, something that causes us not to go forward, snares us, then it's important for us to actually take stock. Look back in our life and see those are the things that actually need to change. Sometimes it means we need to change the schedule in our lives, how we do things. Sometimes it means how we talk to one another. Sometimes it means how we burden one another. Galatians 6 verse 2 verse 5 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he has something, and then it goes on, for each will have to bear his own load. And I found this scripture quite a good help. It speaks of burdens and it speaks of loads. So in the kingdom, in this race, each one of us has got a load to carry. And a load is something, the definition of a load is something that you can do yourself. Something that you've been equipped, something that you are strong enough and you've got the tools to do yourself. And then there's burdens. When people are actually overwhelmed, when a single mom has got five children, then there's a place where we need to come alongside her because it's impossible for her to look after that five children. But then there's something that we can actually do ourselves. Like somebody that's got a qualification and that can work, but he chooses not to work. He's actually causing a burden that he should carry himself. It's a load he should carry himself. That person should go and work and earn a keep. He shouldn't expect the church to look after him. And that's quite important for each one of us. We must go and ask God, what are the loads and the burdens he's given us? Where must we share other people's loads? Where must we go and help? And what are actually the things that other people need to carry themselves? Because a lot of times there will be a demand in your life for things that you're not supposed to be doing. You're actually keeping people from growing themselves. We need to help challenge people to grow, to carry their own loads, and actually go past carrying their own loads and where they can carry others' burdens. Does that help you guys? Is it good? Man. Hebrews, run to please the Father. I found this is quite an important part for me. This is what keeps me going, Hebrews 11, verse 27. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. It's once again, when you do something, we don't just do it for the doing of it. We do it for a reason. And for us in the kingdom, the real reason why we forsake things, the reason why we take up our cross, why we lose our lives, is because we're not really living just for now. We're living by faith, not by sight, but by faith. So every time we choose to do things according to the race that God set before us, we do it actually because we know there's somebody at the finish line that's actually looking, is going to celebrate it when we get there. At the same time, he's actually with us. He's actually celebrating over us right now. That's something for me in sport. When I started cycling, I actually grew up in a situation where I didn't do much sport. I was one of those nerdy guys at school. Because I grew up in a very rural place and the only thing you could do is rugby. And I did play a little bit of rugby, but it wasn't really my thing. But then when I got saved, I started cycling. And one of the things that really kept me going is because I knew God loved it. I knew God gave it to me. Because this is a race that God gave me. And this is a simple thing. But it really encouraged me. It strengthened me to do well. Because I knew the Father gave this to me to do. And so for each one of you, I want to encourage you. You can find those things that God has given you to do and then do it for Him. There's nothing, Liana was sharing at the beginning of the year, about love. Those who, the lovers of God, those who love God do more for God than those who serve, just do things out of obligation. So we want to do things out of love for God, because He's our Father. He's looking unto us. Nothing gives me a greater kick when I see my children overcome an eating. When I always buy my children things before they should be able to do it. Like if they're supposed to ride a kick bike by a year and a half, I buy it for them when they're 6 months old. Because I believe they can do it earlier. I believe they can do it before anybody says that. If they're supposed to sit in the back seat of the car, I put them in a forward seating seat because I want them to see the world. I don't want them to be limited by any fear or anything that people say they should do. I want them to thrive. And that's the same for God. When He looks at us, He wants us to be overcomers. He wants us to be preeminent. He wants us to really do well in the things He's given us to do. Romans 5 verse 5. No hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that's really the key. When we go into tough situations, what I do is I say, ask God, are you in this or are you not? A lot of times when I stand before an obstacle that I seem impossible, I don't look at circumstances, I don't look where I come from. I go to God, I say, God, what do you say about this? What do you say? Do you say I can do this? Am I able to do this? And then Scripture says His love has been poured out in our heart. So the Holy Spirit will tell us what we can do, what we're able to do by the strength of God. I haven't heard God say, I cannot do things. I only hear that when I'm not supposed to be doing things. But when He's called me to do things, He encourages me. Take your coach along in this race. That's a wonderful part of being Christian. God said, God didn't leave us as orphans here on earth. He didn't leave us to do this race on our own. So I've taught you now a lot about the cost and about the hardship and perseverance. But what's important is also that, as the disciples said to Jesus when he asked them, do you also want to forsake me? They said to Him, where will we go? Because You got the words of life. And it's the same for us. When things get tough, where will we go? Because God is there. He's there to encourage us. Zechariah 4 verse 6 says, this is the word of the God, of the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by My Spirit. God has given us the Holy Spirit to do that which we're supposed to be doing, to empower us. So a lot of times you feel weak, you cannot do stuff. But the Holy Spirit is our helper. John 14 verse 26 says, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things, bring to you to remembrance all things that I've said to you. So the Holy Spirit is really the one, if God has given us tasks to accomplish, He's the one who's going to teach us how to do it. He's going to bring to remembrance the words of God. When we stand before that obstacle and when we run this race, God is going to bring to remembrance the things that He's promised for us. In cycling and in running, they've got a term called pacing. How fast you run the race. It's a lot to do with how you utilize the energy that you have effectively. So if you are a certain, you got a certain strength, and you got a 20k race to run, and you got a certain endurance. If you started the race too fast, you will tire before the end. Or if you started the race too slow, you will actually not get the most pace out of that race. And that means for a person that's actually weaker could actually win the race because he applied himself rightfully to that race. And that's the same for us as Christians in this race of life. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to pace us in this race. Sometimes we could actually run ahead of God. And there's also times where we can get behind, where we're actually not obedient to what God is saying to us. When I do sport, and there's something I do, God, well, I believe I'm a very good, I can pace myself well. I can train very little for an event, and then I can get a maximum out of it. And I've done well in many races because of that. And what I do is I commit that race to God every time before I start the race. And then I invite God into that race. But then alongside the race, I say, Holy Spirit, please help me to pace myself. When I started sport, I used to have watches. And when I cycled, I had cadence meters on the bike. I had all kinds of things, heart rate monitors, to help me do the right thing. But after a while, it just frustrated me. I just threw it all out. And I said, God, You've put it inside of my heart to know how fast to go, how hard to ride a mountain, how fast to go. And it's the same for us in the Christian life. We really need to be in a place of God where we don't run ahead of Him, we also don't get behind him. We really ask God, what is the thing you want me to do in this season? Where do you want me to equip? Because a lot of times we can get burned out by being behind God or actually being in front of God. So ask God, where am I now? What have you equipped me to do now? Because once again, we don't look at other people. This race is a race we run. What pacing means is we run against ourselves and what God has set before us. What I find is that when I do running races, in the beginning of the race, everybody's emotionally stirred. So everybody just goes. I did a race 2 years ago. I can share about that. I started a race and everybody left me. Let me share it later on. Let me first share this part. Psalm 144 is one. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. And it's really a place where, as David said in that time, David was this mighty man of God, did the mighty things for God. But all his skill is giving the glory to God for training him. And we want to get to a place where God trains us, where he can show us. See, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. So he will always tell you cannot do stuff, as I said before. But we need to make a decision to do those things which God has given us to do. And one of the encouragements I want to give you is, when God tells you something about your life, take that serious. Each time God has exhorted me, I take those things very serious. I go, write it down. Say, God, you said to me I can do this. I'm holding you to your word that I can do this. And an example, I want to use this from that quote from C.S. Lewis. Very often, the only way to get equality and reality is to start behaving as if you had it already. It's a quote from C.S. Lewis, and that speaks to me a lot about faith. It says, when God says to me, I'm a mighty man, then I'm a mighty man. If God says to me, I'm a champion, I'm a conqueror, then that's who I am. And I need to start acting like that. And a lot of times that can be seen as arrogance. That could be seen as not being humility. But humility is actually, true humility is being exactly that which God says I am. That's what true humility is. A lot of times people will look quite arrogant to you. That are actually doing God's will because God has told them to do it. And they're actually only walking in what God has told them to do. An example I want to use, 2 years ago, that example I want to use, I started trail running because there wasn't much time of having kids and things. So I used to cycle before that. So I entered the random trail running race. I started running in December. I started running with Eric still. I remember running up with him and Rebecca was born up the mountain. So I started running, so I decided to enter the Two Oceans Trail Run. I did a race and I finished top 20, so I thought, oh, I can do this stuff. So I decided I'm going to train for it. And I really felt God encouraging me. I'm going to do well. So I just decided to do one race at the end of the year called the Table Mountain Challenge. And it was about 5 months away. So what I did is I started training. Just about 20Ks every Saturday. So I started training. Just slowly I started to build a base. Just about 2 weeks before the race, I did a 30K. The race is 36Ks. 2 weeks before the race is the first time I ever did over 30Ks of running. But I really believed in my heart because of experience, because I know God's blessed me to do endurance events. I really knew in my heart I could do well in this race. So how it works in this race is you need to do seeding. You get seeded. So I think there's four groups of seeded runners. And because I didn't have any race history, they seeded me in the back. So I went to collect my entry 3 days before the race. And I was number 200 and something. And how it works in these races, if you start at the back, there's a lot of traffic. So it's very difficult to do well. So I stood there and said, Lord, I can do well in this race. I'm going to go speak to the events guy and I'm going to ask him to give me a better number. So I went to him and he just shaked his head and he said, how many races have you done? I said, one. He said, how many races has Disney done? I said, I've only done one above 30. I've only done a run above 30Ks 2 weeks ago, but I believe I can do sub 4.5. Can you give me a better number? So then what eventually happened is the number 4 guy, they had the number 4 number, he actually didn't come and collect his number, so he gave me the number 4. So I really believed I can do well in this race. So what I did is at the race start, I had this number 4. Nobody knew me, but I had number 4, so they thought I was some international runner or something. I really believed I could do well. So then I actually did the race, and eventually I came second. But what's important for that is in our lives, a lot of times God will tell you can do something, and everybody else will tell you can't do it. A lot of people tell you can't do it. But you actually need to make faith of that. You need to enact that which God has told you to do. And the results will most often only come when you step out and step out of that fear. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9, run according to the rules. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards Him. And this is also this so cool, because God says, if we do things right, if we do things to please Him, because He's told us to do it, He will support us, He will uphold us, He will encourage us, He will strengthen us, He will open doors for us, He will do things. And that blameless before Him, an example I could use for that is in my workplace, a lot of times my family have asked me, why haven't I changed jobs yet? I've been in my work for 12 years now. And people would say to me, it's bad for my career. I need to change jobs every 2-3 years. And a lot of times I can't answer them because I don't understand spiritual things. But sometimes what I would say to them is, I only move when God tells me to move. Because I know what God has given me to do, and I know what God has spoken to me along the way. And that's what I wait. I wait for Him to release me. And I know God will support me. I'm not going to do anything that I don't feel God's blessing and grace upholding me. And that's just maybe a challenge for all of us as well. A lot of times we make decisions because of frustration. Sometimes we just get frustrated. Things are not happening. And then we make quick decisions. We make decisions because of comfort, because of all kinds of reasons. But God wants to actually bless us. He wants us to get to a place of perfect peace, perfectly in His unity. And sometimes it will mean 13 years, like Paul the Apostle. It took 13 years after God called him into ministry, before he was actually put into ministry. 13 years of waiting. It could mean that, of being equipped to do that which God's called you to do. So I just want to encourage some of us. Some of us might be in a season where you feel God is not in it. But wait on God's word before you move. Don't make erratic decisions. And the word also speaks of what is born of God overcomes this world. It's very important to make sure that the doors that are opened are God's doors. A lot of times people say, I'm waiting for God to open a door, or the door that opens must be God's door. No, the devil can also open a lot of doors. He can open many doors to lead you into destruction. So for us, it's not about the doors that open. For us, it's to go and hear from God. What does He want to do? And then we pray those doors open. And then we declare those doors to open. We actually push those doors open as God shows us to do it. And that's a very it's a life of obedience. A lot of times the doors that God can open, no money, no opportunity, no qualification can open those doors. The doors that God wants to open in your life is doors that can only be opened by the Spirit. And I just want to encourage you as well. God has put something in your heart. Wait on Him to open those doors. Don't push it open by yourself. Okay, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 to 7. Now there is great gain in godliness of contentment. We brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. A lot of times we can get very anxious because we look at our lives and compare it, and we think we should be somewhere, we should have something. But remember what I said, we don't run this race against other people. We don't run that race against shame or any such thing. We run that race against what God has told us. And so we need to learn to become content. You need to learn to do what's in the season and to overcome in that season. And that's actually great gain in that. God says great gain in godliness of contentment. You don't know what God is forging, and He's actually well pleased with you if you're just content with what you have and where you're at. 2 Timothy 2 verse 4 verse 5, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And I thought I got a little cartoon in there that I saw this week. Some of you might enjoy it. What's the next one? That one. I don't know who of you follow sport in the news, but it's quite a cool one. If I would ask you, who is a good endurance athlete, who would you say? And according to what happened this week, a lot of you would not say Lance Armstrong anymore. And that's a good example for us. He started well. And he did well, and a lot of people thought he was very good. But for God, it's about how we finish. And we can take a lot of shortcuts, we can manipulate, we can do things our way, and we can actually look good for a long time. But if God does it, if God doesn't do it, then our end will not look good. And that's why we need to compete according to the rules. I had a friend who, I used to be in a home church. That's a good example of this. And God convicted me by His word, and this is not the way to do His kingdom. This thing of isolation and not under the fivefold ministry, etc. That's not the way. But then I felt that it was my duty to tell everybody else about this in the home group. So I went telling them. And what came out most often was people say there's just too much to lose. Just too much to lose to make this change. And for us to be obedient to God, we must count the cost. And a lot of times we think we've got too much to lose and we think God is in it. But God is only in obedience. He's only in perfect obedience. So sometimes it means you will lose friends. I know a lot of people that had to make decisions like this where they felt God said things must change. And actually it cost them a lot. It cost them a heck of a lot. And it means sometimes you need to start at the bottom. You need to get to the bottom of the food chain. You're ashamed. You look bad in the eyes of the world. But you know what? When I see those people, I see how God lifts them up. I see how God actually honors their decision to be obedient. And it takes a very short while, because God will establish those people again. So it's about authentic faith and authentic calling for God. And the prosperity gospel is very much against that. It speaks about doing stuff and God will bless you. God is very much into doing what He wants you to do. And in that will your purpose lie. Race fuel. As a person who does long distance races, what we normally have is we take things along with us to energize us, to give us strength, nutrition on the way. And God has also given us some things to, when we run the race and it gets tough, these are the cues we have to stay strong. Isaiah 40 verse 30 to 31, they will wait on the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And this speaks about putting your eyes on God for strength. When things get tough, when you get down, when you get tired, all of us do. All of us get to a place of despondency. Where do we go? We go to God to strengthen us. Go to God to help us. And even sometimes in the middle of it, when I do races even, I say, God, I'm a bit tired now. I just start praying in tongues and I say, God, I really need some strength. I really need some help. Sometimes I put myself in situations that is just incredible and then I just have to trust God. And that's also in our Christian walk. We need to put ourselves in a place where we rely on God. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18, for our light affliction, this is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and external weight of glory. For any person really doing well in races, they got to focus on the end result. They got to focus on the finish line. For me, I always tune myself in. When I do a 20K race, I tune myself in. This is what it's going to take to do 20Ks. And this is what's going to wait for me in the end. So while I do the race, I don't worry too much about what's happening. I just think about what it's going to be like to finish it. And it's the same for us as Christians. This race is definitely costly and it's sometimes very hard. But when we really compare it with the eternal glory of being met with God on that final day, when God stands there with His arms and He says, well done, you good and faithful servant. All of the struggles, all of the things we've been through will pale. And it's important for us to just recalibrate ourselves a lot occasionally. When things get this hard, just focus on that end goal. Because it's always but a mist. The Bible says it's but a mist compared to the life that follows. And that also helps us to stay true. Because what does it matter if things don't work out perfectly now? Because God is in control. So it also helps me not to focus on the tiredness. Just put your focus somewhere else. Cues to finishing strong. I find these are so helpful to finish strong. Hebrews 6 verse 11 to 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish. This is so funny because if you think of our Western ideology works, it says we need to work till we're 52 and then we need to retire. Now it's the time for us to relax, have a good time. So we actually only work in our careers. Actually, that's why we want to build our careers so we can retire quickly. But for God, it's about doing the same things. And actually, at the end, not becoming sluggish. So we should be the best at what God's called us to do today, just the day before we die. Our race doesn't stop halfway through, and then we take a retirement. So retirement is really only in heaven, and God can decide what that means. But for us, it's not about losing focus. It's being diligent. Diligent in doing the simple things. And it's that godliness of contentment again. Sometimes God has called you to pray. And your day out and day in, you just pray. You just pray. And you sometimes think, oh, why am I doing this? It's just, it becomes a bit boring. But God wants us to be diligent in doing those things that are not necessarily exciting. Prayer is exciting, but some things might not be that exciting. Packing chairs or whatever. But there's diligence in that. And that's what's going to keep us going. When you run races, you need to tick over. You need to keep on doing the right things. When I used to cycle, there's some big pelotons you cycle in. And it's important for you to be very vigilant. I would say vigilance is also one of those cues. Diligent to just keep your eyes open. Because if you one moment of losing concentration, you catch somebody's handlebar or his wheel, and then you go down in a peloton. So it's the same for us. We've got positions to keep in this peloton of life and in this race. We must be diligent in this full assurance of hope. James 1:2-4, brethren, and count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but that patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And this is also so counter to the world system, where you have to have things now and right here. And if you're not a success by 20, then you're a failure. And God says our true success is that we may be perfect in character and lacking nothing. So a lot of times our frustration and those things we're struggling with and the hardship in doing the races and actually the training and the equipping, all those things that are cumbersome sometimes to us, those are the things that actually form us to be victorious, to finish strong. So in the end, when we get there, then we're strong to cross the finish line. Because a lot of times when we don't choose to go through those things, then we don't make it to the end. If I don't choose to do my training and to set my vision on the end goal of a race, then I will get 3/4 and things get tough and I will just abandon and I will say, this is too tough. But I set my mind on the fact that I want to complete and I want to enjoy that. So when you go through suffering, choose to count and joy. So it's a choice. It's not something that's going to happen. It's not an emotional thing that's going to, you're not going to have emotional feeling of joy. It says count it all joy. So it's also a choice. We choose to see the joy in the things we go through. James 1:12 says, So now we come to the end. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. See, God has given us that perspective in everything we do in life. From the day we're saved, that's what keeps us going, like I said before. And we will receive a crown of life. You can go to, that's it, the crown of life. So that's what we want to do. We want to be before God, victorious. And then Paul, we all know what Paul went through. He went quite a radical life, shipwrecked 7 times, and all kind of suffering. That's what he said in the end of his life. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. So it's all about us keeping the faith. And I want to encourage you, this trial that we're going through, this life, it's really a short time compared to eternity. It's just a dispensation. The Bible calls it a dispensation of grace. So we're living in a time of grace where we actually can make mistakes. But there's going to be a time where we can't make mistakes anymore. So I want to encourage you to make the right decisions now. To yield your life to God. Yield your life to what God has promised for you. And the calling is God for you. And if you don't know that calling, go and sit at His feet. Go and ask Him what it is. And then don't be a spectator, as I said earlier. We are not called to be spectators. We are not called to just have an insurance and then get to eternal life. We are called to work out our salvation. We are still being saved. So as the band comes up, I just want to give us all an opportunity. to respond to this word. God has maybe been talking to you now. He's maybe spoken to you about this race. And you might find yourself in a place where you're not sure if you're actually engaged in this race. Or you're in a place where you actually feel you're not qualified for this race. And as the band plays, I just want everybody to just close their eyes. Every saint just pray. I just feel, as I shared now in this race, it's really the greatest thing in life. There's nothing compared to having being in this race, because God is with us in this race, and He's the one that assures us of victory. And you might be here this morning. The word I said to you might have been a challenging one. Might have been one where you say, "I don't even know about a race. I'm just surviving. I'm just seeing this life through. I'm just hoping that fate will take its course and it will work out well for me." So what I want to do now is I just want to give you opportunity to qualify for this race. As I shared in the beginning, we need to qualify for this race. And we only qualify by invitation. God invites us into this race. And everybody is invited. Everybody. God has invited everybody to come into this race. To come into this race of glory, where we will see Him at the end, where He will shout over you, where He will celebrate you, where He will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And that qualification comes from Him. He says, "I invite you, but you must come to Me. You must come through My Son, Jesus Christ. If you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, as you accept Him as the one that will put you in this race, then you can join this race." And I want to ask you, if you haven't been entered into this race yet, if you haven't even started this race yet, I want to give you the opportunity to just raise your hand now and give you the opportunity just to respond to God. You're not responding to me, you're responding to God. But this race is a public race. It's not a race that's done in secret. You cannot do it in secret. It's something you have to lose your life, and that losing your life is doing it in public. You must show everybody that you want to be part of this race. So if there's anybody that wants to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior this morning, just lift your hand. I will be happy to pray with you. Any such person. Okay. So the second option I have for you, or the second calling I feel from God, is some of us, we've started this race, but we've become fearful. The enemy has intimidated us. He's called upon us a lot of snares, and a lot of things have held us back, caught us in the snares of life and the things that life throws at us. And we've actually given up on this race. We've only been surviving and hoping God would be gracious to us. But God says we need to participate. We need to be part of this race. And if you feel convicted today that you're not being participant, you don't feel peace about the fact that you are engaging, that you're actually submitting yourself to learning and running this race, and how to run this race and to be victorious. You don't have that confidence in your heart. I also want to give you that opportunity to just respond to God. And it's really between you and God. Just lift your hand. I'll just pray over us, those who want to engage in that race. Father, I want to pray for everybody that's lifting their hands now, Lord. Father, I want to pray, Father, that You would come and show them, Father, what You think of them. Father, I just have this picture, Father, where You're really celebrating over them, Father. Where You're looking down from heaven and You're shouting over them with shouts of victory, Father. It's really Your heart for them to be victorious. And Father, I even want to come against that fear, Father. That fear, I want to take authority over that. And I say, peace and mistle. I call every fear now to a place of stillness. I say those fears will not speak and they will not hold people back. I break that assignment against lives to not be fruitful for God. I break it and I speak life. I speak abundance. I speak victory over those people. Father, I thank You, Father, they will today enter into this race with new vigor, Father. And I also, your word says, I just reminded, Father, even when we stop working, You're still working, Father. And I feel You've got a lot of grace for us to re-enter this race. Because even when we stop working, You are at work. So, Father, I want to pray that over them, Father. And I pray for grace for them to be accountable to other people according to that. That race, Father, they would tell people what God's called them to do, where You're taking them, Father, so that they can submit themselves to your purposes, Father. And thank you, Father, you are really the one that encourages us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that will lead these people, Father, that will lead us into this race and lead us through this race and will make sure that we finish it well, Father. So we call them now into your fullness. We call them now into your perfect peace and your perfect rest where they can do mighty deeds for you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to finish this sermon here. If any of you want to have prayer about these issues afterwards, you're welcome to come forward. There will be some facilitators to pray for you. Go and enjoy the morning. Enjoy the snacks. There's some snacks outside. And tonight I'll be preaching on a different topic. So you're welcome to come and listen tonight. Thank you.